You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Opening day is right around the corner, and of course the American League East Division will always be one that everyone is paying attention to. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and as we look at the Red Sox and Yankees, of course, everyone is looking at the Red Sox and Yankees, and they're gearing up for what they hope are successful seasons. But let's not count out the Rays. With their young pitching, they could do some things in this division, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Let's take a listen. The Rays have returned from an historic trip to Cuba, so they're probably a little tired, but we are not. So I'm here with Bill Chastain, and he, of course, covers the Rays, and I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com. And Bill, I know that you weren't on that trip, but obviously this was a big deal for the team that you cover. I'm sure you've read a lot about what was going on down there, and just how impactful to you was the entire experience for them?
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch. Of course, I tuned in like everybody else yesterday, and I got a big kick out of seeing how much fun they seemed to be having, because all of the kids, they weren't tied up in the political stuff. They were just wanting to go see baseball fanatics, you know, guys that are as enthusiastic about the game as them, as they are. And it looked like it turned out that way. I mean, I couldn't have imagined a better event, the way it looked on TV and the way the Rays were being received and their enjoyment of the event.
Yeah, I've been traveling all the way through Florida, and I was actually just sitting at a restaurant last night and eating some dinner and watching the highlights kind of on ESPN. And it just sort of blew my mind when I just was watching President Obama there, and then the commissioner sitting behind him, and then there's Dave Winfield, and the nature of this entire thing, and the fact that this is our game and our people, and making all of this happen, the players seem to be really emotional about it. There's really not even words to put into what this meant to everybody.
No, and then I thought it was pretty cool too, the whole thing where Verona got the lead off for the team. Now, and it was an interesting thing to me that he was not as well accepted in Cuba as maybe some thought he would be. But I thought it was very cool that the Rays players had actually told Cash they'd like to see him make the trip. They'd like to see him lead off. And they came out of the dugout and gave him a standing ovation when he popped up the first time. They knew what it meant to him, and probably the nerves were just going crazy with Verona at that time. But that was a nice moment, I thought.
So now they're back, allegedly. We're hearing that it was a very late return from Cuba, which tends to happen. So let's talk about a little bit what's going on with the Rays. And as we're about a week and a half away, maybe 2 weeks away, from them really having to nail down the roster. So let's catch up on some closer candidates. What's going on with that? They need to sort of, I guess, mix and match for a couple months on that.
I think right now the main guy is going to be Colomé. And of course, he shut it down yesterday. He gave up the home run. In Cuba, which lit off, you know, fireworks. But you know, he ended up getting it done, and I think he's durable enough to be the guy, the back end guy, until Boxberger gets back. He closed a little bit last year, or was back end guy. They like Xavier Sedano a lot as well, but I think they'd rather use him matching up against left handers. His stuff plays really well against left handers, so. Any Romero probably be in there, but I think primarily Colomé is going to be the guy at the end of the games.
And what other position battles are going on? Like, how are things sort of shaping up with the
Well, it's hard to quantify. The outfield, there's like 100 guys, and you know, you know Longoria is going to be at third, but right, Who's going to be at first? I mean, you know, all winter long there's speculation that Loney would be traded. He's playing really well. He's in a lightweight, of course. You know, everybody speculated this because his salary is what it is. And, you know, normally the higher the salary, the first year out the door with the Rays. But he's had a great spring. You know, he drove in, I think, 4 runs yesterday, maybe 3 runs against Cuba. So who knows going to be at first. Catcher, you know, you got 3 guys there in Conger, Casale, and Rivera. Shortstop looks like it's going to be Brad Miller if he's gotten his fielding woes kind of ironed out, and he seems to have a little bit. He was having a little quirky thing with his throwing early, and lately it seems to be doing better. Those probably are the main, you know, and bench players, how they're going to how that's going to sort itself out.
So it's a tough division. It's always a tough division. This is never a cakewalk. Where do you see them fitting in? I mean, everyone, of course, is talking about the Red Sox being sort of rejuvenated and I don't know if rebuilt is the right word because the Red Sox never rebuild, but they seem to be a force. And, of course, the Yankees, you don't really know. The Orioles are trying to figure out their rotation. And where do the Rays fit into this whole picture, do you think?
Well, the one thing I've learned from covering baseball for all these years is predicting stuff in the spring is crazy. You just can't come up with a good thing. I think they look really good. I mean,
they're young.
And everybody talks about Archer, and I love Archer. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's at the top of the rotation. But I think Drew Smyly has just been crazy good this spring. And he's got some, you know, if he's healthy, you know, he just makes guys miss. But you look at the rotation, 1 through 5, you know, Erasmo Ramirez is number 5. And then you got Moore at 4, Odorizzi at 3, and Smyly at 2. You know, leading up to Archer, it's pretty good rotation. So, and then you're going to get Cobb back maybe in August. You know, that's like adding a number one or two to your staff in August. It's a pretty good trade deadline move, sort of. Mm-hmm. So, I think they look really well. You know, look really good, and the fact that they've done some things offensively. You know, the addition of Dickerson, Miller's more offensive at shortstop. He's going to have to field at shortstop. Because they do have to play good defense, but I think there's a lot of good signs for them this spring.
I'm Brittany Giroli here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Buck, when you look at this spring training, is there one thing you take out of this camp, maybe health or performance of certain guys that you like that was positive you feel like you can build on?
Yeah, but I hate the jinxes right now, but I will anyway. I think just the thought of, you know, we didn't talk about last year's who we all try to be and don't make excuses, but you know, I think J.J. Hardy, you know, it's a tribute to what he played through last year to see the way he's moving around. To have him all year, to have Jonathan Scope all year. We played half the season without John. We played without Matt Wieters. Adam Jones missed the last month, basically. I think a lot of people lose sight that Chris Davis missed almost a month. Not a month, but less than that. A lot of our pitchers, just the help that we have a chance to be able to put our team on the field. And but we all know how fragile that can be in one day's time. So here we're spending a lot of time with the what ifs. And, you know, it's one thing to have inventory. It's another thing to have depth. People get that confused. And you want to have more than just bodies that are inventory. You want to have quality depth. And we have that potential.
When you look at this lineup, obviously it was strong before some of these additions, adding Mark Trumbo and Pedro Alvarez. I mean, what are your early impressions of those guys, and how much do you think they can help this lineup?
Well, they've been kind of, as we hoped, more than just statistically and their track records, just how they fit in with, you know, the way we have to do it to be successful. You know, Pedro and Mark have been pretty seamless, and they kind of fit, you know, and, you know, it's a very welcoming group, and our team's a group that tries to make someone's path easier because they bring something that can help us. And, you know, we scored more runs than we did the year before, but, you know, the pitching was, our starting pitching was inconsistent. But there are going to be some nights in the American League where you're going to have to outscore people. And I think we've worked hard this spring about trying to be a little more well-rounded. You know, we can't go through a season walking 9 or 10 times a year. And our guys know it. It falls underneath the no blank, you know what. You know, they know. I'm not going to be Captain Obvious, but we do point out some things that they've already thought about.
Speaking of the rotation, Gallardo, obviously the big acquisition.
That's a great Baltimore slant, you know, how the Baltimore people with Gallardo. That's going to fit right in anything with an O.
Yes. I mean, do you feel like he's kind of fit in pretty quickly here?
Yeah, if you look at his track record and you look, you know, we spent a lot of time looking at how many at-bats that Pedro had in spring training and trying to get him back to something he's used to. You look at Giovanni's background. He, you know, he's not going to throw 96 anymore, but he's a pitcher. He's an athletic pitcher that is a competitive fire gets closer. You can see a little sense of urgency, and you trust guys. And I look at the number 1 and 2 and 3 starters that are getting pounded around spring training, but you start seeing that change a little bit this last week, and we saw it a little bit his last outing. He's going to be a good addition for us, a very consistent professional pitcher who really likes to win and likes to compete, and there's a reason why winning's followed him around.
Finally, I know you like talking about prospects and that kind of thing. Outside of Dylan Bundy, who will be on this team, obviously health permitting, Any other younger guys, fans to kind of watch this year that are kind of on the radar, maybe some of the lesser known names that have kind of impressed you this year?
Well, I think the potential, a lot of it has to do with health too, of a Hunter Harvey, and I think Jason Garcia starting in Double A, and that rotation there with Parker Bridwell in it, and I'm forgetting three or four guys, which is why I never do it. But, you know, Hunter hopefully will work his way up there. Tanner Scott, really a lot of good young arms that Chris Lee would love to see take that next step. And if those guys come in Double A like we think possibility, it could really create depth and not inventory. It's one thing to have bodies, it's another one can they be at this level. As we've shown in the past, the Double A, Triple A, you know, we feel like we've got 24 pitchers we're picking from, along with the 12 we have here, and that's who we are, and that's where we're going.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking some time, Bo.
Thank you.
Joe, you've had 6 weeks now to evaluate your team. What have you learned about this ball club that you didn't necessarily know coming in?
I think we have some pretty good depth. You know, obviously, you don't want to have injuries, but you know that you're going to have them during the course of the season. And I like what we have.
We've spent so much time talking about the battle for the fifth starter, Ivan Nova, CeCe Sabathia. But what do you think about the rest of the rotation, beginning with Mascaro?
I like it. You know, the big thing is we keep these guys healthy. We keep them on the field. You know, Nathan Eovaldi, I thought, really emerged as a very good starter last year. I thought Michael Pineda grew up a lot last year. Sebi was great, and we expect him, you know, to have another good year. So we got to keep him healthy, and if we do that, I like our rotation.
Very quietly, Starlin Castro has had a good spring at the plate. What have you learned about him at second base and also at the plate?
Well, we always felt that he was going to hit. I mean, this is a young man that has 991 hits. He just turned 26, you know, the other day, so we knew that he was going to hit. And he's made the adjustment to second base very well. You know, there's still some plays that he's going to go through that he's probably never experienced, but we're okay with that because he's athletic and he'll figure it out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like the formula for this team last year was score a lot of runs early and shut them down late.
Yeah.
It was very good in the late innings. What tells you that they can do that again this year?
Well, I just like the arms that we have down there. And, you know, there's a lot more good arms coming, which is obviously helpful. And some of the young kids that we shuffled got a lot of experience last year. But, you look at the back end, the three guys, the strikeout ratio to innings, it's very, very high. So I like our bullpen a lot.
Final question for you. What do you think the most important keys are for the offense? You guys scored the second most runs in the majors last year, only to Toronto. How can you do that again?
Well, I think it's keeping our outfielders healthy, you know, keeping Guardian Hills healthy because they make a difference. And for those guys, they don't necessarily need home runs to score from first or, you know, doubles to score from second. So those guys are important to our offense, and they create a lot of problems.
Joe Girardi, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brian.
I'm Brian Hook, MLB.com.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gregor Chisholm. We're joined today with Blue Jays manager John Gibbons as we take a look ahead to the 2016 season. And John, it's official. Marcus Stroman is your opening day starter. He hasn't been around for a very long time, but we've seen what he can do in some big pressure moments like he did last year in the postseason. Do you think this is the type of role that he can thrive on, and what are your expectations for him?
Gregor, I definitely think he could thrive in it. You know, you look back, and he was going to be our opening day guy last year until he had the knee injury. So, I mean, we were really asking a lot of him then, too, with basically a half year in the big leagues. But we saw something different in the kid. Let's be honest, he's got a great arm. He's got great stuff, as they say in this game. But he's got that intangible. You know, I think he thrives on the pressure situations, the big moments, and not everybody's like that. So he's really in. To see what he did after missing the whole year and come in and pitching some big games for us again last year, and of course in the playoffs, really kind of just confirms what we've all believed. And it doesn't mean it won't be easy. He's going to have some bumps in the road like everybody else, but in my mind, he's really the ideal guy to do it.
At the end of last year, I think everybody knew for the most part the offense was going to be back this year. The big question mark is on the pitching side. Are you guys confident with the depth that you're able to kind of put together over the offseason and carry that into the spring training?
Yeah, I really like the depth. You know, I was a little nervous, to be honest with you, a few months ago when we looked at really kind of the way things set up. But, you know, they did a good job bringing in some good veteran players to have something left. And, you know, as we break camp this year, I think we're in a much better position than when we broke camp last year because we had so many young guys that are kind of guessing on whether they make it or not. So yeah, I feel good about that. And you know, the way that the team, it's a team that is expected to do some veteran guys always coming in.
And the bullpen last year was something you guys struggled with a little bit early on in the season. You're trying to figure out exactly what was going on with the closer role. Is that one area you can look at the start of this year, maybe more than any other, that you really kind of improved and solidified?
Oh yeah, I like the way it's setting up right now. We're not set yet on, you know, who's doing what. But we got some real good arms down there. And, you know, last year we were running some young kids out there. You know, Osuna was one of them. But, you know, so we were really gambling. But, you know, in his case, it definitely worked out. But, you know, for most of the first few months of the season, that was kind of our Achilles heel. You know, we were scoring a ton of runs, but yet we were still having trouble in the middle innings, really, even late at times. You know, closing out games, and until then things kind of fell in place. You know, Osuna took over that role. Cecil, you know, worked himself back into shape and got on a roll. And then even to the point where we put Sanchez down there, and it became a very, very good bullpen. So, but until that point, it was a battle.
A bit of a wild card in the lineup is Michael Saunders, because he missed basically all of last season. It's been a couple of years since we've seen what he can do. What have you seen from him this spring, and what type of year do you think he can
do? He's been great. You know, he's played better than I thought he was going to for missing so much time. And the big thing I'm looking at is the way he's running around. You know, he's not hobbling at all. That was kind of my big concern, you know, with the knee injury. Because when he came back last year, you know, he was having a tough time running. So that's in the back of your mind. But you know what? If you didn't know he got injured last year the way he did, you really wouldn't even know it. And you know what? He's swinging the bat. You know, his timing's good. He's playing good baseball. And I know he's excited because, you know, I mean, going into last year, you know, chance to play for his really, you know, his country's team. I mean, he got out of Seattle with new life and then, of course, a freak injury. And so it was a disappointing year for him. But he's back, and he's going to get a shot to do his thing.
One more, and then I'll let you go. Last year, kind of an overlooked guy at times was Ryan Goins. And, you know, Devin Travis went down with an injury. That could have been a real devastating blow to you guys. But Goins really seemed to solidify second base, and he seems to be doing it again this spring. What was he meant to this
ball? Well, Gregor, yeah, he's been tremendous. He really has. And, you know, I think... Well, we always knew he could play defense. We always knew, you know, everybody knew. You guys saw it. That, you know, he's one of the better defenders in baseball. That, you know, he carried himself like that. You know, the big question was, what would he do offensively? But he was always, I mean, he wasn't getting a whole lot of playing time. So, you know, you're a young guy. I mean, it's tough to hit the big leagues, period. But when you're not getting playing time, it's really tough. And you get those opportunities, and, you know, he wasn't what he is. And, you know, when Devin went down, he got his chance. He was in there every day. There's something to be said for knowing when you show up at the park that you're in the lineup. And he ran with it and turned into be a solid hitter. So, you know, we feel really good with him out there. You know, Devin was, of course, a tough loss because, you know, I think he's going to be a great hitter in the major league for a number of years once he comes back. But, you know, Ryan kind of limited that, and it's his job now, and he'll go out and do his thing. And, you know, he's made some good adjustments with his swing during the offseason, and he's having a hell of a spring. And I expect him to have a big year. We don't need him to do a whole lot offensively. He needs to pitch something in, but just make the plays on defense, take away hits like he normally does, and we'll be fine out there.
Great. Thank you to John Gibbons.
All right, Greg.
Ian, let's talk about Pablo Sandoval. So news coming out that he's going to be out a few days. What happened that caused that, and how long do you think he'll be out?
Yeah, Pablo made actually a great play the other day in Jupiter, diving play on a backhand and tweaked his back. So it's going to be at least a couple days, and it just creates an interesting storyline because, as it was, Travis Shaw had already been sort of gaining ground on Sandoval, you know, to be the starting third baseman. There's a real full-fledged competition going on here, and now you have a week left in camp, and Sandoval's hurt. So now Shaw, who has just had a great camp, he's hitting something like 450. You know, now he has a chance to, you know, gain even more ground on Sandoval, perhaps steal that job, which nobody could have guessed when spring training started.
Wow. So I didn't realize that there was going to be some competition over there. And as far as, like, during the regular season on time, I guess we're a little far away from knowing how this is all going to unfold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like, you know, we asked Farrell, is this a DL situation for Sandoval? And he said, at this time, no. But, you know, I think Pablo still has some more things to prove to them. And, you know, the Red Sox have made it clear this spring, you know, under Dave Dombrowski, that, you know, they're not going to base starting jobs based on who has a bigger contract. They're going to base it on who they think can play the best. And Travis Shaw really played well for them last year at first base, and he's played a lot of third this year. So this is by far, I guess, the biggest storyline in spring training for the Red Sox with about a week last year.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's move on to Carson Smith. So he is likely to start the season on a disabled list after having a strain in his forearm. So how does that affect kind of the back end of the bullpen, and how worrisome is this?
It's a little worrisome just because, I mean, the Red Sox, I think, are trying to build their whole bullpen around the Kansas City Royals model of having, you know, three or four dominant guys back there. And, you know, you still have Craig Kimbrell, who's kind of lived up to expectations. You know, you have Koji, who's going to be 41 on opening day, so you hope that he's going to have another good year. Junichi Tozawa, really kind of underrated setup man. And then you have Carson Smith, who is going to be a real weapon, right on right, sidewinding type guy. And now you lose that element. So at least I think, you know, I would guess he's going to be out at least about a month to start the season with this injury. So, yeah, it's a significant loss, and you just hope that somebody else in the bullpen can step up, maybe Matt Barnes or Noe Ramirez, who has a similar sidewinding delivery as Carson Smith.
So going into spring training, of course, the expectations were very high. I don't think that's changed at all, and we know that the season that the Red Sox had last year, but a lot of people are picking them to, you know, go far into October this year, as a matter of fact. So just observing this team on an everyday basis and seeing how things have progressed and watching the rotation kind of get, you know, ready for the season, how do you feel they are right now heading into the season? Do you think they feel pretty good about how things have gone?
Yeah, Allison. I mean, for the most part, anytime you have David Price at the top of your rotation, you're going to feel a lot better than you did last year. When you have Craig Kimbrell kind of fronting your bullpen, you're going to feel a lot better. But, look, this team has questions that need to be answered before you can see if they're going to be that real playoff team. And is there going to be that depth in the rotation you need after David Price? You know, is Clay Buchholz going to be able to stay healthy? Will Rick Porcello bounce back from the year he had last year? Can Joe Kelly finally, do it over a full season? Well, last year he was so bad in the first couple weeks of the season, he wound up back in the minor leagues, and then he had a great finish to the year. So they need more consistency for him. I mean, the biggest injury in camp really was Eduardo Rodriguez, because this guy won 10 games as a rookie last year. Really, I think a lot of people thought that maybe he could emerge into their number two starter. So they're really going to have to pick up that void that he's left. You know, he's probably, I would say he'll be back sometime around May 1st. And you just hope that the bigger story is that when he does come back, you know, how is he going to pitch? Is he going to be completely healthy and kind of give you that year that he thought he was going to give you? So I'd say the rotation after Price is probably the biggest concern about the team right now.